one of the firefighters comes out and he looks at me dead in my eyes and tells me, "You just saved somebody's life today." But I was like, that was Milo. Like, Milo did this.
Animal lovers, welcome back to Rescued by a Dog, the podcast about dogs that have actually saved their owners' lives. I'm Laura, host of the podcast, and again, I need your help. Can you give just $5 to help Rescued by a Dog keep going? There are two easy ways to do this. First, you could Venmo me $5 or whatever amount you want to send at the handle Laura Bama. That's L-A-U-R-A, B as in boy, A, M as in mother, A. Or you can go to patreon.com/rescuedbyadogpodcast. Again, that's Patreon, spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. So patreon.com/rescuedbyadogpodcast. When you join the Rescued by a Dog community on Patreon, your $5 per month will help me to continue sharing these beautiful, uplifting stories. I really don't want to stop making this podcast for financial reasons, so please, if you love it, help me keep it going. Today, we're going to hear an absolutely delightful story about a life-saving rescue dog named Milo, told by the pup's owner, Michaela, and her remarkable neighbor, Miss Sherry.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Look at that cutie.
He literally just came over here to me and just sat on the couch. So he must have known what's going on.
He must have known. My gosh, he's so cute.
Thank you.
tell me for our listeners, what's his name?
His name is Milo. Milo Swift. It actually originally was Milo Kimon, but in the process of me getting him, I actually got married. So now it's Milo Kimon Swift.
He's just leaning his face into the camera. Can you describe what he looks like?
So he is medium-sized beagle, tri-colored, brown, black, and white. He's gotten a little bigger since the time he rescued Miss Sherry. He's going into his nice little Milo beagle chunk.
He knows he's on camera right now.
He does. He knows what's going on. I'm telling you, he is more human than dog sometimes.
Tell me how you met him.
It was December 13th, 2020. My aunt had called me in the morning, early in the morning, and it was a Saturday, I think. And she was just like, do you want to come to this dog adoption fair they're having in Bethesda? And I was like, sure, I got nothing to do this Saturday, not doing anything. So she comes over. It's me, my little cousin, and my aunt. We get in the car. And my grandma tells me before I leave, because I was living with her at the time, she tells me, she's like, don't come back with a dog. Don't do it. And I said, Grandma, I'm just going to look like, you know, I don't have time for a dog. I'm just, you know, I think I was in school and I was working. I don't have time to get a dog. I just want to see because I love animals. I love dogs. I just want to see. And we get there and there's this long line of people at a car dealership. And it was really unusual to go to a car dealership for an adoption event. But I said, you know what? This is new. This is fun. I'm going to go and see about it. And so as my aunt and I are standing in line and my little cousin is just kind of just looking at everything going on, I said to my aunt, I said, Auntie, if I see a beagle and he's little and he's cute, I'm going to get him. But you know how rare that is, though, to actually, you know, find exactly what you want at the, at an adoption event. But it happened. He was the last dog that actually came in. This foster family, they were running late that day. So as I was leaving the event, they were coming in with Milo. And I said, Auntie, there's the beagle I was talking about. And she was like, oh my gosh, that is so crazy. So we go over to Milo and he comes over and he sees me. He jumps to me and starts licking me, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, Auntie, I have to have him. He's so cute. But everybody decided to come over and they also wanted him too. So I had some competition, I guess you could say. People really wanted him, but I think it was definitely meant to be. Once I got the phone call after putting in that I wanted to adopt him, they called me back probably 30 minutes after that and said, you can take him home. I was excited. I was nervous. I said, my grandma's going to kill me.
So tell me about taking him home. What was it like adjusting to each other?
Oh man, I got him when he was about 7 months. So he was still a puppy. I had him in the car with me and he put his head on my lap. And then he got on the floor and then put his head on my feet. And just like, I instantly fell in love with him. And I said, Auntie, we got to go to the PetSmart. We got to get all the things. Because I, you know, again, I wasn't planning on, he's on my lap. I was not planning on bringing a dog home. So we stopped by the PetSmart and we got all the things. I think Milo made an accident at the PetSmart. So I had to clean it up. And when I got home, my aunt said, okay, grandma's going to be real upset with you. So you have to prepare. And I was like, okay. So I tried to sneak the stuff in, but she was right at the door. And she said, no, you didn't. I said, grandma, I'm sorry. She said, no, you didn't just get a dog. I said, I did get a dog. And she was like, no, let me see him. And then she's like, he's so cute, but I told you not to go do that. And I was like, grandma, I couldn't help it. I had to get him. Look at him. The first 5 days, he was a good boy. He was so good. He was just resting. He would just cuddle with me all day. And then that fifth day, he was like, okay, I'm going to show out. And I'm going to be the real beagle that I am. So tearing things up and getting into things. I'm chasing him everywhere. My grandma's mad at me. I'm just like, I'm sorry. It was crazy. He did calm down eventually. I think now that he's going on, he's about three years old now. He's definitely a lot more calm. He just lays on the couch. He looks at me, looks at the TV, goes back to sleep.
Okay. So, tell me the story of how Milo helped to rescue your neighbor.
Okay. That morning, I was getting ready to go dress shopping for my wedding. So I go outside and Milo's kind of at the door as I'm trying to leave. And so I go to the car, I drop my stuff in the car and I tell Marissa Bernard, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back and try and go walk Milo first. I think he might need to go for a walk because he's scratching at the door. So I don't want to just ignore him. So I go back inside and I open the door and Milo shoots out. He just runs and bolts out the door. I couldn't catch him. Marissa and Bernard were like, where is he going? I'm like, I don't know where he's going. So I'm trying to get him. Marissa's following me. We're trying to run and, you know, run around the whole neighborhood looking for him. And he gets down my street and he goes to this one house. And I'm like, I don't want to go to that person's yard. I don't know who lives there. I don't want the police being called. Like, I'm trying to break into their house. Like, I don't know what to do. So I run over there anyway because I have to get Milo and I got to go get my dress. So I go over there and Marissa's coming and she's following behind me as we go over to the house. And Milo's scratching at the lady's door and just causing all kinds of a scene. And he's barking and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And we hear a faint help. And Marissa's like, you hear that? I said, hear what? And then we hear another help, like, help, help. And both of us run closer to the side of the house where this window is. And the window is open and we're hearing somebody screaming for help. And so Marissa's like, are you hurt? Are you okay? She's asking questions to that neighbor, which happened to be Miss Starr. Miss Sherry Starr. And she was saying, you know, I need help. I need help. So we couldn't really get much conversation going with her. So what we did is we just immediately called 911 and we stayed and waited for them to show up. Milo, in the meantime, he was still trying to get in the house. He was going to the back. He went to the side door. He was scratching and scratching. The ambulance get there and they had to actually come around the back of the house and tear down her door. And we're just sitting out there waiting, you know, kind of like just praying and hoping to God that she's whoever it is, that she's okay.
Did I get the right phone number? Are you Miss Sherry?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
My name is Laura, and I am making a podcast about the dog that saved your life. And I just wondered if I might ask you a couple of questions.
Yes, that's fine. I fell between the toilet and the tub and could not move at all. The window was open. It was cold. November. Mm-hmm. Happened in November. And I was on cold tile floor. you know, squished into it so tightly that I couldn't move. I had no leverage. And I don't know why it came into my brain to yell, "Help, help," because I knew that the mail lady would come. I have a mail lady, not a mailman. But she didn't came till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's a lot of hours. My voice was getting very weak, but I could still say, "Help, help." And that's what Milo heard. The paramedics that came when you call 911, they couldn't pull me out. They had to call their supervisor and said, "We can't move her." And the supervisor told them, "Remove the toilet. That's the only way you're going to get her out." Well, just as they were about to do that, they gave one big tug and I popped out. Once I was out, you know, I didn't really have any bad injuries. And I can't go in there anymore. I have not gone into that bathroom. It's a guest bathroom. I'm just afraid. It's a mental thing, you know, that I have not gotten over.
Yeah.
That I don't want to walk in there. The memories are too hard. I'm fascinated because I didn't realize how many people love to hear about dogs.
Yes, Michaela told me you're not a big fan of dogs, which I understand.
No, I'm afraid of dogs. You know, I had cats all my life, but I know how much a pet means. The love is tremendous, and so I do understand that. Did you read the article?
I did. It's wonderful that the Washington Post profiled the story.
I show that column to so many people, and it's universal. They all go crazy over that story. I gave it to my 16-year-old grandson, and to me, he gave it the highest compliment that teenagers could say, the ultimate compliment. After he read it, he said, "Cool."
Michaela is just an absolutely lovely girl, and she had the greatest things to say about you. She said, "You're a spitfire, and you're just always busy, and you do a million things all the time." She was so impressed with
how I love that age. I like Michaela's age. So she seems like a lovely girl, and her grandmother is lovely, too.
What is Miss Sherry like?
Oh, I'm telling you, she is the smartest woman I've ever met. Like, literally, just sharp. I'm telling you, that lady was, she has a whole bunch of wisdom. She was so grateful and so excited to finally meet me. She gave me a hug, and it was a beautiful moment. But I found out later that she's actually, like, doesn't really like dogs. She's not a huge dog person, so we didn't bring Milo in the house. But I believe she did. She was able to see him from outside. So I got Milo not too long after my mom had passed away. My mom passed away when I was 17 and I was leaving high school. She had passed away my senior year. And I was still grieving when I had Milo. That was actually one of the reasonings as to why I put on the adoption form that I wanted him to help me with my grief. And every time I would get upset, and even now to this day, if I ever have like a rough day or a sad moment or I'm crying, Milo will come to me and he will just lay his head on my lap. He knows what I'm going through. He knows when I'm sad, and he allows me to just cry and just hold him whenever I needed to.
If Milo could understand human English, what would you like to say to him?
I would tell him how much I love him and I appreciate him. And and I would tell him that you've had enough truth. You've had enough.
To me, it was a miracle, especially when they're saying if I hadn't been found, I would not be alive.